If you could turn to Galatians, please. We're going to be looking at a chapter in Galatians this morning. But just a couple of things to, by way of introduction. You know, when we were receiving those new members, it just struck me how young they are. You know, we've been in Emmanuel. Sam and I have been in Emmanuel for 32 years now. 32 years. And, you know, when they're standing there saying, oh, we love Emmanuel, we love Emmanuel. I've tried to leave several times. It's just never worked out. Still here. But it really is thrilling as we see God adding to our numbers. And we do want to pray for each one of those coming into membership. We want to pray for them at the end of the meeting. But also pray for anyone else. As we were in worship, it just really came very strong to me that there are some students here who have a real passion in worship. And at the end of this meeting, I want to pray with you, as well as anyone else who feels they just need that prayer for that passion in worship. Because it's something that we want to fuel by prayer. It's something we do not want to see grow dim, but that we can all be engaged in ever-increasing passion in our worship. And there are one or two people here who, if you don't come out for prayer, I'm going to come and pick you out. So it's easier to get here first. But I've got some very, very good news for one particular couple. Peter, have you sent them off with the children, Maya? Can you just stand? Because this is Maya, who was with us with her husband, Peter. Really good to have you with us. Many of you have no idea who she is. Ah, here's Peter! They were with us until about 6 years ago when you returned to Switzerland. Got three boys, and it's delightful to have you with us. You can sit down now, Maya. You're not preaching. But it really is good to have you with us. And I've got some really good news for you as a family. Did you notice what it said on the screen about the fun day? Where it says free transport available. Go on, get the tickets. Of course, it then has to be one way. You're not allowed to go back to Switzerland. You've got to stay. But it really is good to see them with us. So, Galatians. We're looking at Galatians. We're looking at what Galatians has to tell us today as a community of faith. And there are many, many rich truths in there for us. And I just want to begin with looking at the first opening section of Galatians, because it's important that we realize to whom Paul is addressing this letter, because he addresses it to all those in Christ Jesus. In verse 3, grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus himself, who gave himself for your sins. He gave himself for our sins. And he's addressing this to the entire churches in Galatia. Now, there's some dispute over what that exactly means, but the reality is he's not addressing this to one or two leaders. He's not saying one or two leaders need to readdress their situation and approach things in the right way. He's addressing it to a community of faith, and in a sense, he's expressing his frustration at a community of faith who have lost their way and have turned away from the true gospel that he preached to them. He's concerned that they're turning to another gospel. And this would be a gospel not based upon grace, but based upon law and based upon works. So as Paul works his way through the letter, what he's doing is he's pouring out what we could call his anguish of soul. Now, for Paul, it was anguish of soul. For me, it would just be sheer bad temper. That's the difference. He is more saintly, you see. So he's pouring out this heartfelt anguish about what's going on among the Galatian believers. And when he gets to chapter 3, he's in full flow. He is really letting things go here. And it begins in chapter 3, you foolish Galatians. Now, when you look at different versions of this, people will translate that in different ways. But there is one translation which says not you foolish Galatians, but you idiots. Well, thank you very much. Now, down through my years here in Emmanuel, I have received some interesting emails. I've never yet, and this is not a time to start. Oh, I've just opened a door here. Yeah, I have. I've never received one that has said, "You idiot! Why have you done this?" Now, I've got some that have used different words and meant the same, but they've never been explicit. And yet, what Paul is saying, such is his frustration with the Galatians, said, "You idiots!" Or we might say, "You morons! You muppets! Why are you turning away from the truth that was preached to you?" In chapter 3, "You fools, Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing among you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Are you being an idiot and believing something else? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" And Paul is fighting for the future of the church in Galatia. And he tells them to look back at their past. They have been birthed by the Spirit. He's calling them to look at their past experience. After beginning by the Spirit, with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goals by reverting to the law? Are you now allowing these people who are Judaizers, in other words, they believed in Jesus plus the law? You could be a Christian, you could believe in Jesus, but it meant believing in Jesus, then adding on all of the Jewish practices in order for you to be truly counted as a person belonging to God. And Paul, we know, had come out of that very legalistic background, and he is now appalled that those who heard the gospel of grace are now slipping back and allowing themselves to be diverted from the truth by saying it's Jesus plus. Do you know it's never Jesus plus? It's never Jesus plus. We preach Christ crucified. The only thing that enables us to come to the Father is the sacrifice, resurrection of Jesus. And we preach Him. It's a relationship with Jesus that is all important. Communion is about celebrating our relationship with the risen Jesus. It's not celebrating our relationship with Jesus plus membership of Emmanuel. Now you say, for those who have just come into membership, it's great. But you didn't need to do that to go to heaven. You don't, I find this so hard. You don't even need to tithe to go to heaven. Now, if I was writing the Bible, that would not appear. I mean, to be honest, I would have it much more stringent than that. But Paul knows what it is to be under the law. He knows what it's like to be under that weight and pressure of the law, seeking to obey. And he's come out of that into the freedom of grace in the gospel. So he describes himself. He says, you know, I was circumcised on the eighth day. This is how much Paul was under the law. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. So he's steeped in the legalistic practices of Judaism. He stands there on the edge of the crowd while Stephen is being stoned to death. And it says he give agreement because he's under law. And this law is pressing in on him. But he sees his life transformed when the risen Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus. And he comes into a new life of the Spirit. And so in chapter 5, Paul can declare out of his own experience, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery," which is those Jewish practices, the Jewish law, which the Judaizers wanted to force upon the Galatian Christians. Paul had been set free to enjoy the freedom that the Spirit brings. And Paul, as he looks at the Galatian church, he recognizes that there is a profound change taking place, and the letter is written to address that change, but he appeals to their past experience in chapter 3. He says, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? He knows that they had an experience of receiving the Spirit. This wasn't simply some sort of academic exercise. They hadn't passed the exam on the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a question of they knew knowledge about the Spirit. No, what Paul is saying, how did you receive? How was that experience borne out in your own lives? You experienced, you can point to a story, you can tell a story of you receiving the Spirit. Why are you allowing yourselves to be deflected and distracted from that testimony? Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? He's pointing to the contrast in their experience. You began with freedom in the Spirit. You began by seeing the work of the Spirit among you. Why on earth are you allowing yourselves to be robbed of that wonderful inheritance in Jesus? Who has bewitched you? You began with the flesh, with the Spirit. Why end with the flesh? Look at your experience, Paul is saying. And that is reinforced in verse 5. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? How does God work miracles among us? Through the power of the Spirit. That's how God works miracles among us. But it's interesting that Paul here is taking it for granted that the Galatians could point to miracles that the Spirit had worked. You know, if he says to them, how did God work miracles among you? And they said, well, we don't know of any. That's not what Paul is coming to. He's saying, you know God worked miracles. You know God was at work powerfully among you by the Spirit. And how did he do that? Through believing what you heard. Believing in the gospel of freedom. The Galatians had experienced a powerful experience in the Spirit. And that key to unlocking that was not obeying the law. It's not through good works so that God owed them something, but through faith in believing the good news they had heard. The gospel of grace. God has so much more for us to experience. Have you experienced so much in vain, he says. They had a story to tell. They had a testimony to give of the Holy Spirit at work among them. And Paul is in anguish because they are moving from that life of the Spirit and allowing themselves to again to become under the oppression of the law. You know, we are a charismatic church. We've seen various gifts in operation today, and there are many more that we need to reach into God for. We believe that as we read the book of Acts is not there simply as a nice story for us, but is there to provoke us in our community walk with Jesus so that the miracles we see in the book of Acts are lived out among us on a day-by-day basis. You know, those early believers could point to the life of the Spirit among them. Because this is what the Holy Spirit did. It's not our goodness. It's not out of our righteousness that these things happened, but happen out of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. They could look at that history and they could tell the story as Acts does, but it's a story which is continuing. We must not believe that the end of the book of Acts is the end of the work of the Spirit, but merely is a provocation for us today to press on. And the challenge for us as we read the letter to the Galatians is we recognize they started well, but they were now stumbling. And they were in danger of not finishing well. They had started well, as Paul says, but they were in danger of stumbling and losing their way. Looking back, still a handful of us can look back over 30 years history here in Emmanuel. Still a few of us. Yeah. Isn't there, Peter? Yep. And we can look back and we can see what God has done. We can tell stories of what he did many, many years ago. But that is not the important thing, really. The important thing is, where are we today? Because we cannot change history. We are only responsible for ourselves in the now, the present. And the question is, you know, where are we now? And do we have that heart to press into what God has got for us today and reaching into God for the future? Because that was the real concern of Paul and the Galatians. He's saying, look, you started well. You heard the gospel. You came into freedom. But what's happening now? This is the heart cry of Paul, that the way they were birthed, the truth they came into, is not simply a nice story to tell of some years earlier, but is a living reality in their experience as Paul writes to them. And we need to be very clear about who we are as a community, because as Ian has said earlier on, we are a charismatic church. And we believe that everything we read of in Scripture, every gift available in Scripture is available to us. Every gift spoken of in Scripture is available to us today. And we have seen some, and we need to reach into God for more. We're not a community who have settled. We're not a community who wants to settle for what we have got. We need to press into God for the more and more that he has for us in every aspect of church life. Because a charismatic church is not a label. It's not a label of the sort of songs we sing. It's not a label of allowing you to put your hands in the air in a song that you like. It's not a label. But it is a people coming together with an expectation that God will work among us powerfully through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we find in the book of Acts. That is what Paul's heart is for the Galatians. That they lose that excitement in the Spirit and allow things to press in upon them and distract them from that early calling in God. We must never allow ourselves to be distracted from what God has put into us as a community, and we need to press in for more, not less. More, not less. And so when we look at the sort of community we wish to establish here, it is that community where we are very much open to what God wants to do in the moment and give glory to him as we follow the working of the Spirit. And you know, sometimes that means, as we gather here on a Sunday, we may not have a sermon. Yeah, we may not have a sermon. Now, for some people, that is just beyond their thinking. But the reality is, there are occasions, and some might be thinking, I wish it was this morning, but there might be occasions when, you know, God leads in a particular way, and we simply give more time in worship, we give more time in ministry over people. And for some, that is just outside of their thinking. But for us, we have to be ready to follow the Spirit of God each and every time we come together, whether it be small groups, intermediate, large groups, whatever. It's that power and presence of the Spirit which ought to define us as a people of God. This community needs to be open to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So we look to the past, but we do not dwell in the past, but need to be challenged about the present and the future. And so the question is not for each one of us, have I had an experience of an infilling of the Spirit years ago? But the question should be, am I walking in the fullness of that now? Am I open to what the Spirit of God wants to do within me now? And you will have fellow Christians, perhaps in other churches, who are telling you that what you're seeking is not available. They will tell you that what you're seeking shouldn't even be sought after, because when the Bible was written, when the scriptures were closed, when the canon of scripture was decided, then the gifts of the Spirit left then. There are many, many Christians who believe that there is no such thing as a spiritual gift available to the church today. And there are many Christians who would look at scripture and say that if you are seeking to see that power of the Spirit manifested as we have in the book of Acts, you're seeking something not available. And you're then viewed as not being truly scriptural. You know, you don't really believe the Bible, and yes, we do. But as we read the scriptures, what we find is everything is available to the people of God, because the Spirit has not changed since that day of Pentecost. The Spirit is ever present and ever powerful and wants to take us on further than we have so far experienced. We've not reached all that God has got for us. There is more in this adventure to experience, but there are those who would rob us of the adventure. And we need to be those who stand firm and say, well, you know, that may be your opinion, but for me and my house, we want to press in so that we see the power of the Spirit manifested in the people of God in order that we might affect the world in which we live. But there are so many things pressing in upon charismatic churches. Many charismatic churches have dispensed with allowing people to bring contributions on a Sunday. They see it as a little bit messy. It doesn't help in the flow of the meeting. Well, yeah, but since when? You know, you look at the book of Acts, you look at the work of the Spirit, it just seems to be messy from start to finish. It really does. But it's messy according to our thinking, not according to God's. Do you know, God thinks differently to us. And glory. And we need to be open to what God wants to do. We need to be open to that daily infilling. But the pressures are great. Now, I've come across this thing called the internet. I know. I have learned how to switch on a computer and get onto the internet. And I've come across something called YouTube. Ooh, I'll tell you. Amazing stuff, this. Amazing stuff. And I came across something on YouTube where a Christian of a particular theological persuasion was criticizing churches such as we would seek to be. So they wouldn't allow for any emotionalism, or what they believe is emotionalism. They wouldn't allow for people to smile on a Sunday, because to be miserable is more holy. You should know this. To be miserable, you are called to a life of miserable holiness. Yes. And, you know, many have succeeded. And in this video, it was absolutely amazing, because this person had been to a charismatic church, and I think they'd gone in order to spy out what was going on, right? Not that any of us would ever go to any other church to spy out what was going on. We would never dream of that. And this is what he said as a criticism of a charismatic church. He said, it was as if some of them were drunk. And I'm like, hang on a minute. Doesn't the Bible, in my favorite book, have something to say about what happened on the day of Pentecost? And this, honestly, was a genuine issue he had with church life, because some people seemed as if they were drunk. I thought, read the book of Acts, so read it. Some said, they are drunk, and Peter said, well, it can't, it's too early in the day. I mean, it's absolutely crazy stuff. So there is a lot of pressure upon charismatic churches to become less charismatic. Well, that is not our heart nor our vision. We wish to be more charismatic, not less. We want to see an increasing power of the Spirit at work among us, not less. And we need to stand up against those who would shout us down, not by engaging in argument. I do not believe that achieves a great deal. But we need to rest in the fact that we are secure in who we are in Jesus as a community, and simply tell the stories of what Jesus has done through the power of the Spirit. That's it. Testimony. Testimony to what the Spirit of God has done among us. We have testimonies here this morning of how God, by the power of the Spirit, has come and moved and healed people from serious medical issues. We have stories here this morning about how God has come by the power of the Spirit and He's provided in the most miraculous way, where there seemed to be no way. Now, do we want to see more healings? Yes. Do we want to see more miraculous power of God? Yes. Do we want to see more of the provision of God? Oh, yes. But we believe it's there for us. We believe it is there for us. And we need to continue to press in. You know, when we read of the story of the book of Acts, the church of Acts, what we read of is a church that is unpredictable. You never knew what was going to happen next. Particularly when they carried people out from a meeting who died. You know, you imagine that. In fact, that would be a really good moment to bring the offering around again, wouldn't it? It was an unpredictable place to be. It was an exciting place to be. It was a powerful place to be. And it was a growing community because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is the church we are, but increasingly want to be. Open to all that God has got for us. And that was not my experience as a young Christian. My experience as a young Christian was exactly the opposite. Now, for many of us of the older generation, you know, for many of us of the over 35s, we didn't have the privilege of this sort of community. It wasn't there. In the area where some of us grew up, you had to travel at least 20 miles to find a church, which happened to be a big Pentecostal church in Newcastle, where there was life and where we heard probably for the first time about the work of the Spirit. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. So for us, church was exactly the opposite of the Church of Acts. It was very predictable. Very predictable. You could set your watch by how predictable it was. It was boring. It was lacking in power. And you know, it was in decline. It was in decline. We do not share in that experience. And nor do we ever want to. We need to pray for every congregation of God's people. But we need to be sure of where we stand and press in to all that God has got for us. Are you beginning with the Spirit? Paul says to the Galatians. Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Clever programs and lots of activity will not fulfill the commission Jesus has given to us. We can have all the programs in the world, but unless the Spirit of God is present. You can run all the alphas in the world. Chris and Keith could have 300 people turn up for alpha. She's up for it. But unless the Spirit of God is present, it's just hard work. It's hard work. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not hard work. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we can do everything. We can have the best programs in the world. You can do all sorts of stuff. But unless the Spirit of God is breathing into that work, you're not going to achieve anything but tire yourself out. And so we simply need to be aware of the challenges we face as a community, where there are those who would want us to tone down. There are those who would disagree with us. Well, that's absolutely fine. Do you know, I have never had a problem with people who disagree with me, and I've had plenty of practice. Because I'm not there to prove they're wrong. I'm not even there to prove I'm right. I'm there to see Jesus do what he wants to do in me. And as you all know, it is an unfinished work. We have so much more. We have so much more to receive from the hand of the Father. And it's all a work of the Holy Spirit. I would like the musicians to come back. I'd like us to stand, because there are people I want us to pray for. I'd like those people who came into membership. I would really love you to come forward now as we pray for you. I know there might be some who are out on children's work. But if you came into membership this morning, will you please, unless you're all gone out, have you? Come on, Micah, you just stand over here. Hello. No, just stay here. That's the anointed spot. That's the anointed spot. Just spread out there. Just during the worship time, I really felt that I would love us to have opportunity to pray for students among us who have that real heart for worship. And I would love you to come. If you've got that heart for worship, would you come as well? Because, you know, that's a gifting in itself, where you have that passion in worship. And please, you come out, young man, because I was going to come and get you. And what's your name? Nick? Nick. Come over here, Nick. Come along. You don't need face this horrible lot, honestly. Keep your back. Just spread out. Thank you, Lord. And all I'm asking, now what's going on over here? Have we got a queue? Come on. Can we have one person stand behind each of the people who have come out? One person. That's all we need. Come along. This is not going to hurt anyone. Honest. It's not going to hurt. Because we believe worship is a key to releasing the power of the Spirit. Worship and prayer together are those elements that just call heaven to come and touch earth. And this morning, looking across this congregation, there were many who were just engaged in that passionate expression of worship. And I want us to pray. I want us to pray for greater release of the Spirit, because I want you to be a provocation to the rest of us. I want you to be that challenging example to all of us as we press into God for worship. You know, we don't want a people who in worship remind us more of a cemetery than a party. Sometimes we can stand and we're a little bit like tombstones. That's not what I read of in the book of Acts. I want a people who are provoked in worship. I believe you are a provoker in worship. You certainly provoke me. Because God's got something in you that is infectious for others in worship. Will you just place a hand on their shoulders? If you're being prayed for, please just close your eyes. Would everyone else just reach out your hands towards them? And if you want to come and join in prayer, please. It's very open here for us to just to pray. Let's raise our voices together. I want to pray for each and every person here, that whether they come into membership or not, but there is that increasing passion in worship that will infect this whole community. Pray for an infectious disease of worship to break out. Let there be an epidemic of worship within this community. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, just pray. Just pray out loud. Pray out loud. If you're being prayed for and you have that gift of tongues, just give praise to God. Let tongues rise from within you, for that is you communicating spirit to spirit. If you haven't got the gift of tongues, ask God for it, because that releases us in our worship. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Come, Lord. More we pray in Jesus' name. Let there be an increasing passion in worship for each and every one of these brothers and sisters. greater experience of your Spirit, Lord, for each and every one, that we can be caught up in what God is doing in them. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More. Roshan, Lord, we just pray, Father, you will just bless him afresh. Come and anoint him again, Lord. Fill him with your Spirit afresh, we pray. In Jesus' name. More, Lord. More, Lord. More. More, Lord. More, Lord. Just come, Lord. Come, Father. We just pray this dear sister may know more of your Spirit. Come, we pray. In his name. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just thank you for Ashley, Lord. Right now, we just pray in Jesus' name that you will fill her afresh by the power of your Spirit. Come, Father God. Just let just keep rooted in there. Just allow the Spirit of God just to come and minister to your spirit. Come and refresh you. Now there may be other people out there and you are not students, but this has provoked something within you and you would like prayer. I don't want anyone to leave here this morning having missed out on that opportunity to be prayed for. So if you want prayer, please come forward to my left. You're right. Can we have ministry team over here, please? Where's John? Thanks, Sharon. We need ministry team here over on my left. Thank you, Lord. We're praying for that greater passion in worship. Do you want to come and join? Come and join the happy band. If you need prayer, please just make sure you've got somebody around you there. We want to press in for all that God has got for us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just keep pressing in there. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Father God, we want to thank you for your grace that is work among us right now. I ask in Jesus' name for every person being prayed for, that they will know a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon them, Lord. That this week will be a week of discovering more of you in their daily walk. That worship will be a first response in every situation, not a last resort, but a first response, Lord. And that this community will be increasingly caught up in that spirit of worshiping Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. More, Lord.